Good morning, good afternoon, good night, depending on when you are listening to this podcast. This is session 2 of Philippians, and today I will be covering Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. In trying to be faithful in discerning the words of Paul and how he points us to life, the life that is found in Jesus. And so wherever you're reading or listening to this, I should say, whether it's in the car, at home on the couch, maybe even on a cell phone amongst each other with family members, perhaps. That's a great way to experience a Bible study when we can't be in the same place, to call somebody, to listen together, and then to share in the reflection questions that I will give to you here in a little bit. But I'm going to start out, as this is a podcast, reading these verses. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from that first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart. For you all share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced the harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and the praise of God. As we say in the church, this is the word of the Lord. Well, these are powerful opening words from Paul. And he starts his letters in a very typical fashion, maybe how we would in an introduction of going to someone's house or them coming to our place, giving thanks, having gratitude for being present with one another. And so he starts out with this welcome and this greeting, giving thanks and praying to God for the relationship that they share. And of course, we love those words where he says, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Yes, it's not our peace that we give. Well, certainly God is at work within us. It's God's peace that overflows. It's God's presence that carries and wins the day. That is the hope, that people would experience the light of Christ, the companionship of Christ, the compassion of Christ in the relationship. Now, for Paul, he also often talked of the relationship with Jesus or King Jesus as this thing that God has done on our behalf. But at times you'll see throughout this letter, he may use this word, and it's used here in the beginning of this reading, fellow slaves of Christ. We read in the NRSV translation the word servant, but that could be interchanged from the Greek to slaves. Now, most of us would not think of ourselves as slaves of Christ, nor would we want to celebrate that language, for our understanding of slaves is much different, perhaps. But for Paul, this was a status that had been turned inside out. Yes, you may be a slave of the empire, a slave of the military institution, a slave of that government, if you will. But now this status in Christ, the Messiah, the King Jesus, he's turned it inside out. And so Paul wants to reclaim this sense of ownership. And Paul would be very comfortable and confident in saying, God owns me. God owns me. And he's the Lord of my life. I had a New Testament professor by the name of Mark Allen Powell. And he too shared the sentiment of this that is found in the Gospel of Matthew, where he'll translate the language in some of those chapters to God is willing and ready to rule your life. Again, causes us kind of to stop dead in our tracks, to almost pause and say, wait, what? What? I'm the Lord of my life. I'm in charge of my life. I make all my own decisions. I'm an independent person. And while the answer may be okay, right? Certainly we must take ownership of that. But ultimately, the ownership of each child of God rests fully with God. God creates, God redeems, God saves, God resurrects, God transforms, God resends, God recovenants. God is the primary actor always for the writers of these letters and of the Gospels. And it's important for us, I think, as 21st century Americans in our context to say, we do have a Lord of life. We do have one ready to rule our life. And to reclaim some of that ownership for God owning us, God loving us, God pouring out more life or seeking more life for us. So that we can respond with that statement of faith that we profess in the church that Jesus is the Lord of life, or that we believe in God, the Creator. We believe in Jesus Christ, and we believe in the Holy Spirit, not as something independent of us, but something that actually is at work within. So that's kind of a dive deep there on that slave language or servant language that you'll see in these letters for Paul and others. But another point here is this word grace, grace to you, right? Grace to you. He often leads with that. And our namesake here where I'm serving and leading from is Grace Lutheran Church in Des Moines, Washington. And so grace for Paul really does sum up the gospel, the whole of the gospel. It's the one gift of God that transforms all of life. I'm going to say that again. Grace for Paul sums up the entire gospel, and it's the one gift of God that transforms all of life, and it is gift, gift only. Grace is all gift. And so our namesake in the church in which I serve, Grace, we are to lead and serve, love and serve with that grace. And thus we here say grace in action. It's not a gift that sits on a shelf. It's a gift that is put to work in our life. And we seek to pour out that same gift that we have come to know and experience in Jesus. Now, last time in our first session, when I was teeing up the overall letter, we talked about the notion of partnership or koinonia. And again, I hope you hold on to that in the podcast, but this koinonia is community, it's partnership, it's family. And for Paul, this koinonia or partnership was so important because the koinonia is what transforms situations and partnerships to be able to spread the good news. It's hard to spread the good news. It's hard to spread the gospel in divided community. It's hard to do that if there's not a sense of the building up of the kingdom of God. So we have to get in the right spirit. We have to focus in on what I would say, keep the main thing. And that is the grace. That is the Lord of life. That is King Jesus. And from there, we go to work as that knit together community, transforming situations, transforming the world with the good news of Jesus, because that is the gift that the church seeks to give. Now, a summary of these other verses, it'll talk here in verse 6 of the day of Jesus Christ. The one who began the good work is still at work, and it's going to be brought to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Jesus Christ is now. The day of Jesus Christ is life. The day of Jesus Christ is death. The day of Jesus Christ encapsulates the whole human experience. And it's through Jesus where Paul would point to at the end of all of this, God is again going to put the world right at last when he comes again. And we are to anticipate his coming again, not as in fear and trembling that God is coming to destroy. No, but God is going to put the world right at last. So all that's been wrong, all that's been broken, there will be a restoration. There will be, as we could point to in the book of Revelation, a new heaven and a new earth that is descending. We're not ascending to it. It's descending to us. And God is going to again take up residence in a new way where there's a new heaven and a new earth, a fulfillment of all the promises that were ever given. And we will fully get to experience that. So again, the day of Jesus Christ for Paul, very, very important. And we look for it. Again, talking about my Old Testament professor or New Testament professor, Mark Allen Powell, he talked about this when he said every time he goes outside, he looks up at the sky, and if there's a cloud in the sky, he's paying attention because he fully anticipates Jesus to be coming back on one of those clouds. He anticipates it in his lifetime, and he cautions us in our wisdom and knowledge and all of this, our faith today, where we may minimize that or not anticipate it as much. He says, but we should be, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we should be anticipating and looking for that because of what will take place then. A restoration, putting the world right. And Mark Allen Powell says, the church gives itself to that work. Even though we fall short, we give ourselves to that work, and we're also yearning, having that in our gut, in our heart, in our mind, in our soul. We yearn for that to be fulfilled, to see and experience it in the here and now. And in verse 6, when it talks about the one who began a good work among you, you could ask the question, who is the one? Who began it? Was it a Timothy, a forerunner? Was it, you know, we go back to John the Baptist? Was it some other prophet? Is it Paul himself? Who's the one? No, the one that Paul's referring to is God through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is implied here. Just like I've preached on, the Holy Spirit at the beginning of creation is the Holy Spirit that is here now, the Holy Spirit that was there moving over those waters is the Holy Spirit that descended upon Jesus saying, you're God's kid, I love you, and I'm proud of you, claiming and naming Jesus, claiming and naming us. It's God through the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has been here the whole time. Jesus, in many ways, has been here the whole time. God has been here the whole time. It's the three in one in dynamic relationship, working out the gifting of grace and the creation of the world of relationship. So the question could be, what is God doing in your life? You know, what is God doing in your life is what Paul is leading with, right? That this good work that God got started is going to bring it to completion. And what does that look like for you? What is the good work that you're about? How are you sharing and advancing the gospel in the world? Now, when we get to verses 9 through 11, and he talks now about prayer, very eloquently about prayer and how he's praying for the community. He talks about love abounding more and more, and it's pouring out. It's in a chalice that cannot contain all of it. It's like a flowing river, a waterfall. And people of love are to be caught up in that, right? This love that abounds. And as we're caught up in that, then we love and we discern those things going together so that, as Paul talks about, we can choose the way of life, in the words I use, that produce more life. Choose life that produces more life, or right living, as Paul would articulate. And love, held together with discernment, helps you figure out what that is supposed to look like in your zip code, within your household, within your church. And then we get a look back at verses 7 and 8, jumping back a little bit. He talks about the heart and the heart that he has for them. And it's an affection for this community because they've been bounded together in their partnership of grace. And I think the encouragement that Paul is trying to give there with this gift of heart is to remind people to continually be in presence and to hunger for that presence. Well, certainly in pandemic times, COVID time, we could say war time when people are separated out, the way the world is today when families are spread throughout the entire world, people not all living in the same towns, family gatherings not able to happen as normal. But we've been given tools and gifts and resources to still be the church, to still advance the gospel, to still join together, even though differently. And by joining together in any form, on FaceTime or in in-person Bible study, on this podcast, we're joined together in the sinew of the gospel that's binding us together, that we are in presence, and that in presence, abiding presence, is something that will join us together throughout the generations and throughout all space and time. So that's a little snapshot there of those verses. But if you were to take a summary and to say, well, what does this ultimately look like for Paul? Again, he would start out saying, always give constant thanks. No matter what, in this beginning of a new year, this is more than a resolution, but we're picking this up from Philippians, the book of joy. We want to give constant thanks. Number two, we want to pray for each other always. Prayer is a big deal for Paul. It's a way of unity. And then from giving thanks, praying for each other, he would encourage us to be loving and discerning as you chart a pathway forward. Love and discernment, again, going together. Because through that, there's unity and there's holiness. Maybe we even take on the mind of the Messiah, what God would yearn for in our lives. And then this word comes to mind, which I know people have used throughout the last few years in particular, this word flourish, that all will flourish if you're giving thanks and gratitude, praying for each other, loving and discerning, working on unity, holiness, and it putting on the mind of the Messiah. In that, there will be a flourishing. And this forward look then is you will be fruitful. You will be a blessing. You'll understand abundance. And you will reflect love, which again goes back to, that's what right living is to look like. Holy cow. I think that's pretty powerful. It's very simple, yet I know complex to live. But the formula, the pathway for Paul is there is a way of being together that is good. So I'm going to leave you with a few questions for you to take on and to journal about. Again, maybe call a friend and ask these questions together. Read those few short verses. Listen to this podcast. But one of the questions is, how does Paul's concept of love challenge and transform how we normally think of love? Based upon everything that I've said, how does Paul's concept of love challenge and transform how we normally think of love? And how is this different than what you're experiencing in society today? Okay? Another question for you to apply with these verses. What would happen in our lives if we thought of partnership, fellowship in the gospel like Paul did? What would happen in our lives if we thought of partnership or fellowship in the gospel like Paul did? And the third question for you in this Bible study today. For Paul, prayer was a central way to experience a partnership in the gospel. So how can your prayer life begin to more fully reflect that conviction? And what are the obstacles to doing that? One more time. For Paul, prayer was a central way to experience a partnership in the gospel. How can your prayer life begin to more fully reflect that conviction? And what are the obstacles that get in the way maybe of doing that? Well, I pray that this will be a blessing for you on this day, whenever you are listening to this podcast, and that those reflection questions will take you a bit deeper so that we all can flourish with the advancement of the gospel here in our world. Blessings to each and every one of you, and I'll see you for session 3 of this Bible study very, very soon. Take care. Good day.